John, the 12th chapter, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Let's start reading verse number 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hours come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Let us pray. Father, I again want to thank you for your wonderful love for us, your kindness and goodness. I thank you for this wonderful book, the Bible, God's Word. And Father, once again tonight, certainly do pray for that good work down there in Florida. Pray, God, that you'd bless it in an unusual, special way. We know you've already done that, but Lord, they have a lot of needs and things that need to be done in this troubled time. So I certainly pray that you help them. And then, Lord, here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, keep us straight. Keep us always walking with you. Keep us loving you, Father. And here tonight, this preacher needs your power. He needs your wisdom. He needs you, Father, more than he needs anything. And I want to thank you for what you're going to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, we're going to just leave you with a thought that I believe is very, very important. I think most of you know we live in a world that's it's much different than it used to be and what it ought to be. We live in a world, and I believe it's a principle that we need in God's people, especially today, is to learn to die to self. You know, the Bible was talking about here that corn of wheat that falleth to the ground and die. It's only then when it will produce something. You know the principle. You know it as well as I do. You go out and you plant something out in the ground. You have to plant that seed down in that ground, and it comes forth and produces, let's just say, a stalk of corn. And on that stalk of corn is sometimes maybe a couple ears of corn, but multitudes more than it was put in the ground is produced out of that. And what I'm saying is we have, as Christians, we've got to learn to die to self. I was, this week, I was just kind of reminded of something. I was telling a story to somebody, and immediately went, and I noticed this a lot of times in people's lives, and maybe this will help you, I don't know. But I was telling a story, and I noticed that the person that was listening to me was not really listening. He was hearing what I was saying, but only thing he was interested in is what he was going to say next. And a lot of times, if we do not be careful, and it was just a reminder, it was no big deal. It was just a reminder to me, though, we've got to die to self and begin to learn to do a little listening. Listen and kind of do this as an experiment. When you tell somebody, you know, I even hate to tell somebody anymore, I feel bad. I really do, because I want to tell you, they feel 10 times worse than I do. I mean, you know, I'm sorry after a bit, I even said I felt bad. Because time they get done, I mean, they have felt much, much worse than I ever did. And I felt like a pauper, you know, so I try to be careful even saying I feel bad. You got to be very careful about, you know, you say, well, I've really had a tough day. Oh, you've been busy today? Oh, you can't believe my day. It's amazing. I mean, Now, I know a lot of that is human nature. I do. I know that. I understand it. But boy, we got to get off of that stuff. There's just a lot of times when, you know what, people need to tell us something, and they need you to listen to them. Not tell them some big story that's bigger and greater than the one they just told you. Now, everybody out here knows what I'm talking about. You understand that. You know that. What I'm saying is we need to be listeners. We need to learn to die to self. We need to learn to die to self. Are you hearing me? You see, we need to learn to do that, and we need to learn to pay attention to other people. And you know, they may have needed to tell you something. They may have just needed something that day. Now, there is times when the Holy Spirit moves that you can share with them something that similar maybe happened to you that might help them, but be sure you know that it's something that's going to help them. It's not just you telling a story. You understand what I'm saying? Boy, listen. You just use that as an experiment the next few weeks. Just do that. Watch it and see. And you know what? That's not what we ought to do. We ought to be doing some dying to self and listening. A lot of times people just need to be heard. And you need your attention to do that. You know, and that person that I was talking about, it was no big deal, but it was just a reminder to me. He wasn't listening to me. All he was thinking about was, and he didn't even comment on my big story. He immediately told me one that was bigger than that. Now, what I'm just simply saying to you, we got to learn to die to self. And we got to get our, you know, and pay attention to people. Listen to people. I know some people go on just, and you know, the only thing I can say for that is just duct tape. I mean, duct tape will fix anything. Amen. That'll do it. And that's the only thing I know. That's the only hope for some folk. We seen a T-shirt the other day, and I think I gotta quit telling these stories. We seen a T-shirt the other day, and it showed a duck wrapped in tape. And it had underneath it duct tape. Anyway, duct tape will fix a lot of things that need to be fixed. So I'm not talking about someone that just goes on and on and on all the time. But there's some time when people need to be heard. And they don't need you telling a big story. They need you to listen to them. Hear them out. And just watch that, because there's not a person in this room, sitting or standing, that has to have trouble with that sometimes. We want to tell our big story when that person needs to be heard and listened to and maybe helped. Amen. I just want to share something with you. There's a divine law in the Word of God that I believe is, if you're going to gain something, you're going to have to give something. I believe that's a principle in God's Word. I believe it's the principle of sowing and reaping. We have to learn to give in order to receive. Now, I'm not talking about, and I hope you understand it, I'm not talking about this theology of you go out and give $100, you're going to get $1,000 back. I'm not talking about that. But what I am talking about is, if we don't learn to sow seed that dies, there's not going to be any fruit. We have got to learn to sow seed. You see, there's a lot of stingy people in America. There's a lot of stingy Christians. They don't understand the principle of sowing and reaping. They think the more that they hold back, the better off everything's going to be for them. But it isn't. God is not looking for that. God is looking for givers. God and folks, I'm talking about money, but I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about as a person, as a people. We need to learn to be givers. I'm going to take you over to the book of Proverbs for just a few moments here. Book of Proverbs, 11th chapter, and I just want to share a few thoughts with you. I'm not going to take very long tonight, but I just want to kind of center in on some things that will help you. That's Proverbs, 11th chapter, and I'm going to start reading verse number 24. There is that scattereth and yet increases. There is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. Did you hear what God said? God said there's those who scatter, and because of their scattering gets increase. There's those that withholdeth more. He wasn't even saying you couldn't withhold some for the use, but he said they withhold more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. See, we don't understand the principle of giving. We don't understand the principle of being a person that has to that God's word says, you know what, learn how to give so that God can bless that. And again, I'm not just talking about money. I said, like I was telling earlier, learn how to be a person who gives to others in multitudes of ways, not just money or not just things, but you can be a blessing to people and that need help by being a listener. You're giving unto that person by listening and hearing and not always having the answer. So I don't know how many times I've had it, and I've told you that before. In my office, I've had people come into my office and sit and talk and walk out of there and say, "Oh, Pastor Ross, thank you so much for your good advice." I never said anything. I just sit here and went like this. And you know what? That was all right. That's all I needed to do. They needed someone to listen. They just needed someone to hear them. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying we just need to learn how to be a giver, not you know, in money. Sure, we got to do that. That's part of life. We got to learn that. We've got to do that. But to be a giver of self, you see, so that we also then can get back. It's that old principle, as I told you earlier. It's the principle of the sowing and the reaping, folks. We do that on negative a lot of times. We've got to remember something. We got to sow the good so that we can get it returned to us. See, there has to be some giving. God wants to return a lot of things to us, but we don't learn that. You see, we're so selfish. We're so caught up in self and worried about what's going to happen to us that we don't ever think about other folk. This here ministry, the ministry is about people. That's what Jesus' ministry was about, was other people. Amen? And I'm going to say this again, folks. Learn to listen. Don't always be a know-it-all. Because you don't know everything. You don't know the needs of everybody. You know, you don't know what's best for everybody. I'm serious about it. You don't know what's best for everybody. I don't know what's best for everybody. But I know one who does. I know God does. You see, and we need to learn that. I was thinking about the giving and the getting and the reaping and all of that. I was thinking about Job. I don't think a person in here probably that knows anything about Job's life that are in the maze sometime of it. When you're just amazed at what God did through Job. But Job had 7,000 sheep. At the end of the book, he gets 14,000. Job had 3,000 camels. At the end of the book, he gets 6,000. Job had 500 donkeys. At the end of the book, he gets 1,000. It's because Job was willing to sow that which he had, and God increased it. Now, again, I'm not talking about the theology of, well, you just sow this, but it was something that was in Job's heart. Job was willing to give up that for the glory of God, not blame God about it, and God returned it back unto him. Now, I've taught you this before, but you probably already know this, but you know, he had three daughters and seven sons. Well, he didn't get 14 sons and six daughters. You see, again, at the end of the book, he already had the ones. They was in heaven. Didn't have to double them. He still had them. You all understand that principle. But what I'm saying is you've got to understand there had to be something give up. I really mean this. If you want happiness, why don't you give some? You want some joy, why don't you give some joy? You want some encouragement, why don't you give some? Man, that's the way to get it. That's the way it'll return. You know, Hannah, back in the Old Testament, the mother of Samuel, you know what she had to do? She had to give up a son to get a son. Oh, she went to God and dedicated the son to God. And then God gave her a son. See, Abraham become a great nation. How did he do that? By giving up a son. Took him up on the mountain willing to sacrifice him. We got to learn to give. We got to give up some things so that God can bless back in our life. Joseph gave up freedom and his family so that he might gain freedom and a family. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? You see, isn't it true for us today too? You see, we live in such a selfish nation. We're so selfish. We don't want to give up, and that's the only way that God's going to be able to bless. We want to hold everything in. I mean, we want everything. It's ours. No, it isn't. I've taught you over and over and over. You don't own anything. Everything. And I don't either. Everything belongs to God. I don't care what you've got. It's God's first. And the sooner we learn how to give it to him and let him have it and let him have control over it, the better we'll all be. Moses gave up the luxury of Pharaoh's house to gain the promised land for Israel. Now what I'm saying, don't you understand what Moses done back there? He could have had an easy life. He could have lived in luxury for the rest of his life, but he gave that up so that Israel would have a home. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, we don't look at that principle like that. We always want to just hold on to everything. Just hold on to everything. Rather than just give up so that God can give. You remember, and I won't go back there, but you remember that widow lady that, was there and fed that great prophet? You remember the deal on that where the prophet went up there to her house and he said, just go get me a drink of water. And she went to get a drink. Oh, he said, bring me a morsel of bread too. She said, I don't have anything. She said, all I got is a little handful of meal and a cruse, a little bit of oil in a cruse. So she had. He said, it's all right, you go ahead and fix it. Now that meant death for that widow and her son. That's all she had. But she gave it up. What did she get in return? Oh my, God bless. And the cruse of oil never went dry. The barrel of meal never went dry. She had it all during the famine at time. You understand what I'm saying? But she had to give it up first. See, we want, as the old saying goes, we want our cake and eat it too. Now what if she'd have said, no way, I'm going to feed my son, I'm going to feed me, that's no way, forget it. Well, she'd have eaten it and died. Yeah. See, we got to learn to be givers. Right. We got to learn to give, you see. You know, even the Old Testament, the olive berries back in the Old Testament, you know they had to be beaten and destroyed so that oil would come out of them so it'd be used? Don't you know that you have to come to nothing and die to self so you can be used? Do you understand that principle? As long as you're proud, as long as you're the big shot and all, God can't use you like he wants to use you. No way. You understand what I'm saying? Sure. You know, when the tabernacle was built, I'm not going to take much time to go back to these scriptures, but we could go back and read them. They're in Exodus, the 35th chapter, and read about when the tabernacle was built. You know what God said to do? He sent two men to oversee that. And he said, those whom their hearts was stirred up, he says, they gave to the point where they had so much, they had to go and say, we don't need any more. And what did they do with all that? They built the tabernacle. But they had to give up first so that they could have the tabernacle. See, you can't sit back and hold things back. This church is a testimony of the fact that the way it was built and all the things that's been done here, it was done because people give. You can't stop giving. You stop giving, you're going to be stopped the blessings of God on your life. You can say anything you want to. Now, in all seriousness, I really believe this. There's situations in people's lives right here in this room, and I don't know your situation. I don't really know your situation. Not when it comes to finances and all of that. But I want to tell you right now, there's enough money right here that ought to be given to take care of this project we got on right back here. But we're holding back on it. We're holding back on no. You know, why I can't give? No, yes, you can too. You ought to give. It's your responsibility to give. We all voted to do that, you know. Amen. Now, what you can give, I don't know. That's between you and God. But I'm going to tell you to quit being stingy. Don't you want to see God's work go on? Do you want to take a look and see what God's done in the past few years here? Isn't it amazing what God's done? It's amazing. Don't you want to see that continue? Or you want to pull the blessings? Amen? Sure. You remember that? You remember Peter's boat? You remember how Jesus come down to the shoreline there and there was Peter's boat there and they was out cleaning their nets and he got in one and he said, shove me out there. And he got out there and he taught and preached. Remember that? And then he said, Peter, now you cast your nets out there. And they cast the nets out there, and the nets got so full, the nets broke, the Bible says. They brought another boat up there, that boat and another boat up there, and loaded them down. They almost sunk. Why? Because Peter was willing to let Jesus use them. Now, I'm telling you right now, you got to let Jesus use you if you want blessings. You got to be willing to put yourself out where Jesus can use you if you want the blessings of God. Or you can be stubborn. You can just sit and you can say, I'm going to do it my way. And I'll guarantee you the real blessings of God won't come your way. See, we've got to learn to be givers, you see, of ourselves, you see. You remember that little lad who had five barley loaves and two small fish? fed 5,000. Why? Because he's willing to give. They would have went hungry that day if that little boy hadn't been willing to give. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying to you folks that we got to learn to get rid of, die to self, and give what we have to God and let him use it. Amen. You know what I believe? I believe God is looking for channels to work through rather than reservoirs. He don't need any more reservoirs. There's plenty of those out there. He needs channels that God can channel his blessings through you and me and use it to bless other folk and help the work of God. He don't need reservoirs that just stores it up like the Dead Sea. Multitudes of people have been saved for 20, 30, 40, 50 years and never give out the gospel. You're a reservoir. You've just been eating up the word of God. You've been listening to the preachers preach, and many times you gripe and complain about what they preach, but you never give it out. You're like the Dead Sea. He don't need reservoirs. He needs channels to work through. You see, Christ gave us riches for our poverty. See, he gave himself. Christ gives us peace for our trouble. Christ gives us love for our hate. The Bible says they hated him without a cause. And he loved us. See, Christ gives us his righteousness for our filthy rags. Christ gives us his life for our death. Christ gives us his glory for our shame. Well, you understand it or not, Christ gives us heaven when we ought to have hell. Now, what I'm just simply leaving you today with, short message, but I want you to listen to this. I want you to hear me. Quit being a selfish person, a selfish Christian, and start giving unto the Lord. Give yourself. I've taught and taught and taught on this. You know, there's tithes. We give our tithes and offerings. We ought to do that. We give our times and our talents. You know what God really wants is us. And then he's got all the other things. Amen. You and I need to learn if God gave you a talent, it was to be used for God's glory. Yeah. Amen. Not yours. Yeah. Not for your benefit, but for his benefit. Yeah. No matter what that talent is, you ought to be using it for the glory of God. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And I believe the same way when it comes to money. I believe the reason God gives any person the money is so he can use that person to give it to God's work so that the work of God can be done. I'm convinced of that with all of my heart. Does he know you have certain things you have need of? Oh, certainly he does. Does he help us provide those things? Oh, certainly he does. What I'm simply saying to you is we have got to learn to die to self and quit this foolishness of always being us. Amen. We've got to quit it. And I'm asking you to do some experiments the next week or two. I would really like for you to do an experiment and just listen to your talk. Listen when you hear someone else. Are you interested really in what they are saying? Or are you just waited with bated breath to tell them the next bigger story? What about those whom God brings your way that has need? Are you there to give it? Do you have an open heart? I'll guarantee you something. I'll guarantee you this. If you will say, Lord, I'm gonna just give myself whatever I have to you, I'll guarantee you God will bring people through your life that has needs. And that may be what some of us are afraid of. Amen. So deny self. And die. Die to self. You believe that? I believe that's what we need to do. Amen. I believe that's what Jesus would have us do. Just bow your heads, please. Close your eyes. Now, Father, preach this short, simple message. And I just ask you, God, to help us with the principle of it. Use it in our lives to help us to be better for you than we've ever been before. Help us to, Lord, get away from this old proud thing. It's always about us. But Lord, help us to be kind and gracious and helpful to those around us that need help. Now, Father, I pray that you put a new life in us that recognizes, Lord, other people's needs. And Lord, recognize them and be willing to meet them. And Father, to give of ourself and give of our money and give of our talents and give of everything we have for the glory of God. Quit worrying so much about the future, Father. You're the one that controls the future. And we ask you to take it and use it and help us, Lord, to be more like you. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.